Page 161. This is writing an offer when the seller in foreclosure will carry back paper. Advantages, you have to put up less cash. If you have a willing seller that'll carry back paper, it could save a lot of money out of pocket. The interest rate should be low enough to allow the property to be kept and rented, perhaps for positive cash flow. At this price level, it's probably not true. But eventually, we're probably going to be just taking over low interest loans without the seller carrying back anything. And it'd be nice if they started to cash flow again. That would mean a price decline of a considerable amount. Another advantage, former owner will probably discount the note prior to a payoff. So if you get a seller to carry back a note after they've been in foreclosure, those types of people usually end up with money problems again in the future. So there's a good chance that they might discount the note that they carried back. Sometimes the paper added to the purchase price will make the deal fly when the all-cash offer seems too low. So if they discount the paper, they'll be right back where they were with the all-cash offer. And that's sometimes the ego just won't let them sell a property for a certain amount of a sale price. And so if you make it up with a note, and the note is out there a ways, 7 years out, sure enough, if they come back and take the discount, you're almost back to your all-cash purchase price. Some disadvantages, you probably will pay more for the property than an all-cash offer. And another disadvantage is you're still connected to the seller. You owe them money and paying them. Some mistakes to avoid, have the seller carry paper for at least 3 years to 7 years, as long as you can get it, would be best. Make sure the seller understands what they're doing, and that's the reason we're going to go over the forms that they need to fill out, you need to fill out for them. Make sure the note is written at a reasonable interest rate, but I would hesitate to do a zero interest rate with somebody that's in foreclosure. So I would try to match the interest rate with perhaps what a T-bill would pay for the same length of time. So if they're going to carry back a 7-year note, I would probably want to match it with whatever a 7-year T-bill was paying, just to be safe. Page number 162, make sure sellers get the proper disclosure forms and make sure the lender or the loan does not have a due on sale clause. Since you're creating the paper, you want to try to dictate some of the terms of the loan to where when you sell the property subject to, you don't have a problem. If you'll turn to page 168, we'll just go over the seller back disclosure statement. So if they're carrying back a note, they need to be aware of some of the risks involved. On page 163, on the first page of the equity purchase agreement, under number 9, that's where you'll fill out if they're going to carry back paper. Page 168, seller back disclosure statement. And this is what a Johnson box looks like, that box in the middle. Instructions. This statement is required when the seller carries back a note executed by the buyer as part of the sale price for property containing 4 or less residential units. This statement is prepared and signed by the broker, or if there's not a broker, then it would be by owner and seller. Signature of the party who first offers or counteroffers to buy, sell, and exchange or option on terms which include a carryback note. A copy of this statement shall be delivered to the party accepting the offer or the counteroffer. Both buyer and seller sign the statement acknowledging they have read and received a copy. So under number 1, you put the terms of the note, what the original amount is, interest rate, payments, and so forth, the property that it'll be secured on. Under 1.6, if an all-inclusive note and trust deed are carried back by the seller, they'll contain provisions passing through to the buyer any prepayment penalties, late charges, due on sale clauses, etc. 2.1, on the bottom of page 168, if an all-inclusive note and deed of trust are carried back by the seller, they will contain provisions that the seller will place the note on contract collection with an institutional lender, escrow officer, or real estate broker other than the seller, and that the collection agent is instructed to first disperse funds on payments due senior encumbrances. So when you're, if you're having a seller carry back a note, you don't want to put yourself in a position, if they're carrying back an AITD, that they're getting all of the money and it's their option not to pay the first. The company that I used to work for in 1980, they unfortunately made it a practice at the end to receive payments under those types of arrangements, under AITDs with $2,000 down. So you could buy this was actually a sale that happened. It was a Newport Beach house, $1.3 million with $2,000 down. The only, what do you call the little things that hang below larger signs? Yeah, riders. The only riders the company has were $1,000 down and $2,000 down. So no matter what the price of the house, it was $1,000 or $2,000 down, subject to the existing financing that they had cranked out on the property. Now keep in mind that this is 1980 and 81, and the interest rates on second trust deeds that he was inducing people to invest in was somewhere around 21%, and first trust deeds were around 15 or 16%. So if you have a $1.6 million house that's completely financed with those interest rates, can you imagine the payment on that? And then you buy it with $2,000 down. That was the commission to the sales agent. So he was just literally trying to get everybody to get ownership of the property. These people would make payments to him on a wrap. And when he needed money, he literally just kept it. So he wasn't making the underlying payments. And ultimately, he went to jail for about 8 years. So that's why you don't just hand the money monthly to somebody that's carrying back an all-inclusive deed of trust. You've got to make sure that they're doing with that money what they're supposed to. Top of page 169 talks about insurance. A joint protection policy of title insurance will be delivered to buyer and seller, insuring their interest in title at the close of escrow. At this point, you decide 2.5 if you want a tax reporting service, so you know that the property taxes are being paid. Number three, encumbrances, senior and prior to sellers, carry back trust deed and note. So it's here where you would put down anything that's senior to what you're allowing the seller to carry back, so they're aware that they're not in first position and that they have some liability. Number 3.2, if any of the senior encumbrances contain a due date, it may be difficult or impossible to refinance, modify, or extend the balloon payment in the conventional mortgage market. So if you have a first trust deed that has a due date and your seller carries back financing behind that, that could become a real problem for them. So that's what that disclosure is about. Under page number 170, 5.3, the buyer and seller are not to sign the statement until they have read and understood all of the information in it. All parts of the form must be completed before signing below. So when you're having a seller carry back financing when they're in foreclosure, that has to be filled out. That's important. On pages 171, 2, and 3, this is the transfer disclosure statement that the seller fills out for you. So once again, even though you're buying the property most likely as is, you have the right to be told the truth about what is wrong with the property.